Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields. Welcome again to Food for the Journey. And we continue this week of really dealing in different ways with double-mindedness or hypocrisy or, yes, double-mindedness. That's the duplicity that can come in our lives because our motives are so mixed for what we do. Oftentimes, even when we're trying to do something good, we're often trying to do it for a selfish reason. We want some kind of acclaim or acknowledgement. We say we don't, but secretly we relish it when it comes. And, you know, many people say, and I understand it, how do you get rid of that? How do your motives become pure? Well, first of all, by growing in love with God, that I simply want what he wants. I don't want it for myself so much as I want it for his honor and glory. I want what he wants. When that's really embedded and rooted in us, it begins to give us an orientation that enables us at least to quickly recognize our hypocrisy, our duplicity, our double-mindedness. It helps us. And we can see it, and then we have a choice to make. And it's all within, as one writer says, nanoseconds. You know, it's just in a very split second, we have to make a choice. But if daily we're reading the scriptures and allowing the word of God to take root, the word of God is living. It's active. It can change our course. And if while we're seeking to read the word every day, we're asking the Holy Spirit, you rule in my life today. You reign over my life today. And I will follow you. And mean that. Your motives will become more and more purified. It's usually a process. But your motives can become more pure than they are today. And that means in the end that God gets more glory. And people are drawn to him, not to you so much, but to him, or to him through you. He can use you in a wide variety of ways. You don't have to hide your head and say, oh, don't pay any attention to me. Allow God to use you, but always point the way to him. Always. First reading from letter of St. Paul to the Thessalonians, first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 2, verses 1 to 8. You yourselves, brothers and sisters, know that our reception among you was not without effect. Rather, after we had suffered and been insolently treated, as you know, in Philippi, we drew courage through our God to speak to you the gospel of God with much struggle. So here were disciples coming to preach the word of God. They had already been ridiculed. They had already, as Paul says, been insolently treated. But when we came to you, we drew courage through God to speak to you the gospel of God with much struggle. Our exhortation was not from delusion or impure motives, nor did it work through deception. But as we were judged worthy by God to be entrusted with the gospel, that is how we speak, not as trying to please men, but rather to please God who judges our hearts. Nor indeed did we ever appear with flattering speech. We didn't appear with flattering speech. Do you flatter other people so that you'll get something in return? Stop it. Just stop it. Nor indeed do we ever appear with flattering speech, as you know, or with a pretext for greed, God is witness. Nor did we seek praise from men, either from you or from others, although we were able to impose our weight as apostles of Christ. In other words, we had a calling. We could have taken a more authoritarian attitude or posture, but we didn't. We didn't. Rather, we were gentle among you, as a nursing mother cares for her children. With such affection for you, we were determined to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our very selves as well. So dearly beloved had you become to us. Now see, what's speaking there is the heart of a shepherd. He's taken on the mind and the heart of Christ, the good shepherd. I love you. And even if we have difficulties, even if there are challenges in my communicating the word to you, my whole desire is not just, in a certain way, just to share the gospel of God with you, but to share ourselves, to become in a certain way one with you in Christ. That's a good shepherd. Psalm 139, you have searched me and you know me, Lord. Read that psalm and you'll find out how much God knows. It tells us in this section, even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know the whole of it. So why should we spend time and energy trying to hide the truth from God? God knows our motives. God knows our intentions. And what you want to say is, Lord, shed your light on my motives, that my work may be purified, that my intention may be purified, and that many, many people will turn to you because I'm obedient, because I seek to have your honor and your glory as the first agenda in my day. I want you honored through what I do. I don't want me honored so much. You can't eliminate it in the human sense, but you certainly can get yourself in a posture where you take more joy over one sinner who repents than over people giving you all kinds of empty praise that they won't remember the next week. You have searched me and you know me, Lord. Behind and before, you hem me in, you rest your hand upon me. My journeys and my rest you scrutinize. With all my ways you are familiar. You understand my thoughts. See, God knows us through and through, brothers and sisters. So who are we fooling when we say, oh, yes, I want to do this for the glory of God. And yet our real motive is, I want to be seen and known. I want to be acknowledged. I want to be publicly acclaimed. Oh, we won't say it, but that's what we're feeling. Do everything for the glory of God, little by little. Even if you do one act a day unselfishly for the glory of God, that's a start. Start there. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 23, verses 23 to 26. Jesus said, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. See, he's calling them hypocrites because they tithe all kinds of things. They have very detailed laws about what belongs to God, and they're tithing, and they tithe very publicly. He says, you pay tithes on mint and dill and cumin, and you have neglected the weightier things of the law, judgment and mercy and fidelity. You're not thinking at all about your eternal salvation. You're seeking to win the praise of people, and you're using religious means to do that. That's false worship. When you look like you're worshiping God, but you're really doing it for yourself. That's false worship. That's serious business. And Jesus says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. Woe to you. You pay tithes of mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier things of the law, judgment and mercy and fidelity. These you should have done without neglecting the others. Blind guides who strain out the gnat and swallow the camel. In other words, you let the big things go by, but you go after every little jot and tittle of a law that's, in one sense, is minor. And you swallow the camel. In other words, you turn your back on mortal sin because the person is observing all the externals of the law, and therefore they are acknowledged. And yet their souls may be already in hell. Not truly, but you know what I mean. You can't judge the intention, but you can look at your own. Don't worry about anybody else in this. Look at yourself. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You cleanse the outside of cup and dish. That was all the regulations in order for things to be ritually pure, ritually clean. You cleanse the outside of cup and dish, but inside you are full of plunder and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees, cleanse first the inside of the cup. That's yourself, your internal life. so that the outside may also be clean. There's nothing confusing about that. It's very clear. And I, as I said yesterday, I really want you to take a look, because this week it comes up again and again and again. Brothers and sisters, we want to follow the Lord with our whole heart and our whole mind. And that means we have to take a look at motivation. Don't get discouraged. You've got habits and patterns ingrained in you. But take one area, put it before God, and say, help me to purify my motives in this one area. Oftentimes when you get one or two big ones in, the other things fall down pretty easily. Anne Voskamp, who I've mentioned before, who wrote a marvelous, marvelous book called 1,000 Gifts. She's worth reading. It was a New York Times bestseller. Very, very good. A wife and mother, lives in Canada. And this is a quote from her book. You aren't equipped for life until you realize you aren't equipped for life. You aren't equipped for life until you realize you aren't equipped for life. In other words, we need to acknowledge we can't do this. We can't live life the way God is calling us to on our own. And until you admit that, you're not even beginning to be equipped. You aren't equipped for life until you see that you're in need of grace. That is God sharing himself with us. In the moment of realizing your limitations, your shortcomings, your inescapable sins, all that you aren't, in that moment of surrendered lack, Lord, I'm poor, I'm weak, I'm sinful, I can't change this on my own. That's what she's talking about. In that moment of surrendered lack, you're given the gift you receive no other way, the gracious hand of an unlimited God. Repentance, that is turning around, is the only way to be ushered into grace. It's the only way to come into intimacy with Christ. When you say, Lord, apart from you, I have no good. Lord, I'm sinful. My motives aren't pure. I'm selfish. I'm hiding other sin. I'm trying to do it in secret so that nobody sees. I'm trying to present myself as a good Christian when really I'm a hypocrite. I'm a Pharisee. The big thing is don't despair. Just acknowledge your lack because God wants to meet it. He's the Savior. You don't save yourself and then present yourself to him. You need him as a Savior. And Voskamp writes, we all want progress, writes C.S. Lewis, but if you are on the wrong road, progress means doing an about turn and walking back to the right road. And in that case, the man who turns back soonest is the most progressive. She who repents most makes the most progress. You always go farther when you travel light. She or he who repents of seemingly little sins knows that all sins are great, and knows a greater God. Repentance is as much air to a Christ follower as faith. Brothers and sisters, take a look at this in your own life. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I'd like to offer you a new free booklet entitled The Final Confrontation by Ralph Martin. I am very interested in your response, and you can write to me at Renewal Ministries. To access the free booklet, simply call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.